All right, thank you for that, Chris Cross. Welcome back to the show. And when you hear that music, Tuesdays at 9:40 a.m. Pacific, it's time for SailSportsTalk.com. And joining me to co-host from SailSportsTalk.com is our longtime friend, Karen Lyle, and we are waiting on our guest. Karen, welcome. Are you in London, New York? Where is you?
Well, I'm in San Francisco, actually, in the East Bay of San Francisco today, and I'll be in L.A. next week.
What are you doing in San Francisco? I thought you have to be in, like, Mozambique and places like that.
Well, you know, I have to recover in between, and besides, it's really nice in San Francisco. I mean, don't you love it here?
Yeah, it's, well, everywhere but San Francisco, yes. The rest of the Bay Area is quite charming.
Well, I was born there, and so was my dad, so.
No. Well, I've worked here since the 80s, so, I mean, I'm
yes,
basically.
You probably spent more time there than I have.
I have. I'm basically a San Franciscan at this point with all the time. We're waiting on our guest. We're going to bring in Mike Buckley, who's the CEO of Team USA, and SailGP is going to be in New York. And this is the sixth stop of the Rolex series. Is that right?
So this is, yeah, and actually the previous race after San Francisco was canceled, if you recall, because of the boom, I mean the mast basically breaking during the San Francisco race for the Australian team, and so they did some heavy duty inspection to find out what it was, and it was some adhesive that was flawed or not sturdy enough to handle the winds, and so they went and they canceled the Rio race, and then they basically redid all of the boats, and so this will be the first race after all of those retrofits have been done, and it's quite you know, as I was there, I saw the mast break. I was at the San Francisco race, and I was standing outside the St. Francis Yacht Club, and we're watching the race, and all of a sudden, boom! You know, you remember when Taylor Canfield came on to our show, he said that he was right behind the Australian team and that they wear headphones, just like, you know, when you're in a helicopter or something like that, and you have to, because the speeds are fast with the wind and everything. And he said that he thought that it was actually they had hit something because the sound was so loud from that. But it was actually just the sound, you know, from another boat, from Tom Twingsley's boat. And so, quite exciting for fans to watch that, because it's just like in the circus when you know that someone can fall and they're up on the high tide wire. It makes it a little bit more titillating, as it were, of a sport. But you don't really want people to get hurt. That's the goal.
The boom went boom. Well, you know what I think?
Well, it was actually the mast.
The mast went boom. The boom's the
right.
One that's...
That's right.
Yeah, that's the one that's perpendicular, yeah.
Yes, that was my mistake in saying that first.
Yeah, and you have to duck when the boom goes side to side sometimes, right?
Well, and on this one, it's really much more like an airplane wing than it is, otherwise. That's kind of... doesn't have a floppy cloth sail. It's a very hard sail.
I think what they're doing is smart, though, because it's one thing to race in Toronto, Italy, or Cadiz, Spain, or something. But when you're racing around the island of Manhattan, you have a lot of people with a lot of cash, and they're watching. And I think that would really perk up their ears and their eyes to something that they don't get to see. Usually, it's a perfect location.
It is. Well, you know, they're not coming back to San Francisco in 2026. What happened was I was talking to Sir Russell Coutts, who is one of the owners with Larry Ellison of the SailGP race, because he was hanging out over at the St. Francis Yacht Club before and after the race with his wife Jenny, and just, you know, staying out of view and having a chance to recover from all the excitement and so forth. And so we got to chatting after the race, and was talking to, he brought Mayor Lurie to the race, and the problem was is that San Francisco was not able to offer more bleacher space, and also the Marina Green at the time that they needed to, because they wanted to bring all of the all of the technical spaces over to the Marina Green, you know, by the St. Francis and Golden Gate Yacht Club, so that the boats could be there, because they had them located all around the other side of the bridge, on Pier, over by Pier 90 and those places over there, which is a long ways for the crews to travel to get to the race. And, you know, usually there's a lot of back and forth. They take, you know, their VIP guests, you know, behind the scenes for the technical. You know, I've been to that several times. And down in Los Angeles, everything was located in the same place. But, you know, what happens is these international cities are competing for the race. And so they are offering money, and maybe $3 million bonuses or something like that, plus outfitting, you know, to make it more attractive. And so San Francisco and Los Angeles just aren't willing to do that. And, you know, I mean, even the Olympics down in L.A., there was a third party who basically provided the money to outfit so that L.A. could get the Olympics. I mean, it wasn't the city itself that did that.
So these sponsors, like when SailGP has been here before in the past several times, is that civic money? Is that money that is coming directly from the SailGP in Europe, or is that bid money coming from donors? How does that all work?
Well, basically, the way it works in San Francisco is that the producer, I actually know the production company that is hired by SailGP to put on, you know, to put up the bleachers and put up the race, because I produce the Fillmore Jazz Festival, so I also build infrastructure. We have about 100,000 people come to that festival. It's the largest street festival in San Francisco, and it's coming up in July 5th and 6th. We usually have people from all over the world for that festival. So you basically have to, the producer hires the city, like the police department, the EMTs. There has to be an ambulance on board. There has to be, you know, if they're having sound, they have to have a license. So there's every department of the city basically interfaces with the producer when putting on a race like that, because you're setting up an infrastructure that doesn't exist. And the way the city basically looks at that race is they say, okay, whoever has the street permit, or in this case it's the marina, you know, the permit from the port, you know, to be able to use that space, they basically control that space and determine what goes on inside that space. But then they have restrictions, like how high the bleachers can be, because of the, you know, the people who live nearby who don't want to have their sight lines interrupted, right? And so you've got all of these different things. So basically, CLGP has invested in San Francisco, and they've just handled this like any producer and just paid the expenses out of the bleacher sales. And and then the teams, in the beginning, they were owned by the CLGP race, which was Larry Ellison and Russell Coutts, but then they've been selling the teams. So now the teams, like Mike Buckley, is one of the first, the American team was the first team that was basically a group of investors who came in on that team together. And the team is maybe, I don't know, $65,000 or something, which is a lot less expensive than an America's Cup, you know, hosting an America's Cup team. And the boats are owned by SailGP. So basically the people who buy the teams are just coming into, it's not an actual franchise, but they're coming into a system that's basically set up for them. But then they do run their own team and decide who their crew are going to be, and you know, make all the decisions for how they handle the race, and they get their own sponsors, and that can pay them back for what their investment is.
And I guess when you talk about that jazz festival, which I know is free, I mean, last year it didn't happen because the budget got over like $500,000, right?
Well, actually, we did do it last year. What happened was this year, you know, I had produced the Fillmore Jazz Festival for the first time last year, and basically reverse engineered it, because you know, the previous producers weren't sharing information as to how it was done. So I just basically created it from scratch. So we didn't really know what the budget was going to be until we got into it. And then it turns out to be about 500,000. So this year, you know, with all of the things that are happening in the country and so forth, there weren't any grants or money coming to it. And so we just decided, well, why don't we just save up for 2026 and not do the festival this year? And so that was announced on a Wednesday in last month and at the merchants meeting, and someone leaked it out to the press, and by the evening it was in the evening news everywhere that the festival was going to be canceled. And there was such an upcry that a couple of donors came through and basically gave us the bridge money to do the festival. So that was, you know, very, very generous. It came, money is coming through Avenue Greenlight, and that's a project that was set up by one of our crypto billionaires here, multi-billionaires, who really wanted to see the spaces, the merchants, be able to return to San Francisco after the pandemic. So there was a lot of grant money that was given to help, you know, just small grants. I think we gotten, Fillmore Jazz Festival gotten about a $15,000 grant last year. So there was already a relationship there, and they came forward and offered more, but that's kind of confidential what all those details are.
Well, we found out that our guest wasn't aware of the interview, so we're going to try and reschedule. How about that?
Oh, you know what? It may be a time zone thing, because I did talk to him. No, we talked yesterday about him coming on the show, and he was all excited and said he was going to be here. So,
yeah, well, maybe we'll do it next week, and then we'll have the results of the race.
Yeah, that would be great. That would be great.
Lovely chatting with you as always. And by the way, the Fillmore Jazz Festival, as I mentioned, is free for everyone to attend.
Yes, and it is happening. It is happening. We've booked all the musicians, and it's going to be, we're going to have more music than we've had in the past. We have basically five stages, you know, over 100 different musicians happening for 2 days. We've got 140 vendors. You know, it's a big deal.
All right. Karen Lyle, SailSportTalk.com. Thanks for your time, as always, and we'll talk to you next week.
I look forward to it every week.
All right. I'm Rick Tittle. Let's take a break, and we will come on back with Open Lines on Sports Byline.